For Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. I don't know what happened to Steve Barish, our sidekick. He got kicked, I guess. Anyway, I'm on the air here with Buddy Boo. That was myself, George Winston and myself playing a song called Yesterday in the Pleiades, where I played the piano and he played the guitar. So anyhow, welcome to the show. We'll make this a call-in show because my sidekick's not there and I need to get an update on what's going on out there with everybody anyway. We've been having a pretty good week around here. Had a lot of calls on the flamethrowers lately, starting to really sink in what happens to people when they get hit with this radiation stuff. And bottom line is, they get fried. A lot of people have been getting fried lately. We're going to be up in L.A. on the 15th, I believe, or I think it's the 15th, doing a little show, I think it's Santa Monica. I'll post it up on BBS or someplace, or maybe on my website, let you guys know. But the call-in numbers tonight, Station 1 is 530-327-7602, and the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. Reviewing a couple of really interesting books, show them to you. Sidekick jumped off there for a minute. I had to rescue the sidekick. Anyway, the first book is written by Stanton Friedman. I'll hold it up to the camera, called Science is Wrong. And Stanton, of course, comes on our show a lot and comes on our network a lot. And it's the startling truths about cures, theories, and inventions. They declared impossible. And I just got the book in today, or actually yesterday, and I just started going through it. But as you know, Stanton Friedman, he's the kind of guy that goes around debunking the debunkers. Remember when he was on Larry King, he performed pretty well, and there was this one guy that's on there that, I forget his name, but he really plays the part of a skeptic. And we look forward to having him on there. I'll read what's on the back of the book. Cause I recommend that everybody gets this book. You can get it at Amazon, I'm sure. It's 2 months before the Wright brothers' historic flight at Kitty Hawk, a top scientist declared that no possible combination of known substances can be united in a practical flying machine. Second thing is, germ theory was first advanced in ancient Sanskrit texts thousands of years ago, but wasn't widely accepted until late in the 19th century. Yeah. Took a few millennium for people to wake up. Space travel was declared utter bilge in 1956 by British Astronomer Royal, one of the long line of scientists who proved it was impossible. Throughout history, it has been difficult, even impossible, to promote the acceptance of a new discovery. Yet during the last two centuries, there have been veritable explosions of new cures, theories, techniques, and inventions that have revolutionized aviation, space travel, communications, medicines, and warfare. Most of them, of course, were deemed impossible. Well, science was wrong. It is a fascinating collection of stories about the pioneers who created our thought of the impossible cures, theories, inventions that said they couldn't work. Of course, Stanton Friedman has known me for 30-some-odd years. And, yeah, we were fun kids together. And the things that we developed at Paradigm, and we were talking about 30 years ago when we started the company. Actually, the company's almost 40 years old now. Are considered way out in left field. Yet today, our clientele is scientists, government people, celebrities, musicians, housewives, bricklayers, for college professors, physics labs, all over the world use our products today. And they were considered impossible when we started the company and completely ridiculous by some. But time has proven us to be on top. So this is one book that I recommend. I see in here he refers to Robert O. Becker, Bob Becker, who is a great scientist who wrote a book on biomagnetics and the bioelectrical fields in the body, which we're using now currently. His book is a reference point for our Q-band machine, especially for broken bone healing, shattered bone healing, and getting rid of infections and things that, you know, sometimes when you break an arm or a leg, without the electronic processes that are available, the infection can never be cured, and the leg has to be amputated, or the arm has to be amputated. This eliminates that amputation. That's part of what our QBAM technology is all about. And then we have another book that came in, which is real interesting. I got it. It came at the same time. You there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Let me just introduce this other book, and then I'll...
Sure.
We'll get to it. This is 20th First Century Jedi, written by Dr. Damian Joseph Sprock. And he was an athlete that got into sports medicine, but he wrote one hell of a book, including some of the stuff that I cover in my newest book, Inside Sprock. He was a football player. He went to Purdue with a football scholarship. So he's done a lot in sports, but I'm telling you, in spiritual consciousness, he's got some pretty wild quotations here. And well, he'll be coming on our show soon. And here's a few of the things. He says, beginning your ascension, how the biomass velocity factor determines your fate, how to use practical systems to unlock your true potential, how to upgrade your mind software. I like that one. Steve needs that one, actually, how to upgrade your mind software. He's a computer freak. A 21st century Jedi inherits fourth dimensional thinking for interpreting reality. That's true. Evidence of intentionality and non-randomness. Cracking the code to the origin of human consciousness. Evidence interconnectedness between all systems. Spiritual DNA reveals the moment human life begins. There is no time. Only momentum in the present. I've always said that one. Can't wait to get him on the show. Molecular Band-Aids, an equation for healing, and the secrets of the new human, the end of disease. So I'm sure it's at www. I think you can get this on Amazon.com. So we'll have all that. He really signed a nice. He really signed this over. I got to call the guy. I put a beautiful endorsement in front of the book. But anyway, that brings us up to Steve, computer whiz genius, Barish.
Yeah.
What were you doing there? You must have been on the internet, on the web today. Were you on a big high? Was the 8-foot waves rolling out there today, or what?
Well, I've got some good news. I met a nice lady who is known by the Andromedans here in Rochester, New York.
So we got an Andromedan contactee in Rochester?
Yes, yes, yes. Very, very nice. And she's really sweet, and I'm going out to dinner with her, I believe, next week or the week after, and we're going to talk about Andromedans.
Oh, that'll be good.
So she's really a very, very sweet person, and I seem to like her a lot as a friend, and so we're going to see what we can talk about. So
that
should be a lot of fun. And
I'll
how have you been?
I'm sidekick to an Andromedan now. You'll be calling me from one of the Andromedan planets. I think they named one after you, didn't they? That planet Barish, isn't that?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. How have you been, Fred?
Oh, good. I'm more interested in the relationship. So how did you meet the Andromedan Queen?
She's a friend of a friend of mine. I was invited over to her home. And she's a psychic, and she looked at me, and she said, "You know the Andromedans, don't you?" I said, "Yes, I do." And she told me that she's seen them, and the same way that I do, they're pure white, you know, the way that you see them, too. Some are very, very tall. We talked for about a half hour, and she seemed to be very, very interesting in terms of knowledge of Andromedans and Palladians, for that matter. So, I'll talk to her, and then I'll talk to you about it. Maybe we can have her on your show.
Yeah, that would be good. Bring her on. Did you tell her about the Andromedan by the tree picture that we have here?
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you show it to her?
Excuse
or do you have,
me?
Have a copy of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, we have a picture of it.
Oh, good. Did she see it?
Yeah. No, she didn't know it because I didn't know that she knew them until I actually talked to her.
She brought it up first.
So we had a nice talk, and very sweet lady, and she has a lot of knowledge on them. So I thought maybe you would love to hear from her, and you could talk to her too.
Yeah. Now, what's her birth sign? Do you know?
No, I don't.
That's the second question you got to ask these. You know.
Okay, birth sign. I'll put that down.
I know what sign she is.
Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there you go. Sign. And then next thing you knew is show her your nuclear receptor. I mean,
she's worn the nuclear receptor, and she's worn the projector.
What'd she think of them?
She loves them.
Wow.
Loves them.
She's either going to be getting one or you're going to get one for her, right?
Probably get one for her.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so she's really cool.
Yeah, one of the
really, really cool.
She'd be perfect for the Ankh. You know,
probably. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have her over to my house, and
yeah.
I'm going to show her the new receptors that we have, and I'll let her pick up on them and see what she thinks. She'll probably flip out.
Oh, yeah. The Ankh. Of course, the projector, as you know, is Andromeda anyway. So
yes, yes. And they're really, really powerful, and they're a lot of fun. And for somebody who has a lot of qualities that she has, I think she felt it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the projector, she just went nuts over the projector.
Oh, you've got a platinum one.
Yes.
Yeah, I was wearing that one that I made for our friend, but I'm back on the silver one again.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make a gold one. Every time I make a gold one up, it gets gold. I'm wearing one with a silver bridge. I mean, a silver one with a gold bridge, which is nice.
Right.
I need a gold one with a platinum bridge. I think that's what I need. Because I
have
that platinum one, and it was blowing me out. It's just, it just causes me, when I wear it, to think very intense, you know, and really...
Yeah.
Really overthink things, and I try to do what the projector's going to do. Yeah, I get caught in its action, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Whereas the silver one, I just coast along, and I just barely think of something, and it happens. I don't have to put any pressure on it, you know.
Right. The gold one would be perfect. The 18 karat gold one with the platinum bridge would be fantastic for you.
Yeah, that's good for me.
Yeah,
and I've worn that platinum. Ankh, and that's also too intense. I made one for a guy that was gold with a platinum bridge, and the same thing, that worked for me. But I want to go to a white stone now from the Yellowstone.
The white diamond?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that, I can handle it. On a regular receptor, it's too intense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it when it gets... It's just like, it's sort of like a steam. It's like drinking too much coffee for me when I wear those things.
Yeah. Well, it's very powerful, Fred. I have to take it off.
Yeah.
I take it off. I'll wear it for a couple weeks, and I'll take it off for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then put it back on again.
Yeah. Well, I'm wearing the projector. I had it off for a month, you know.
Yeah.
I put it on in 3 days, exactly what I needed to do happen, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'll let it build up a little bit more, and then I'll take it off again. It's a
right,
it's falling into it. It really works.
Yeah.
Trippy to watch it work, you know.
It's unbelievable. I take it off, and it still works in terms of wanting things for my clients.
Yeah.
So it's really intense. But I had something interesting happen. I didn't talk about it last week. I had a client who was in the hospital who's a bad diabetic.
Right.
And he had a heart operation. And he was actually on his way out. I mean, he was really, really sick. And his wife called me into the hospital, and I did some energy work with the Andromedans, you know, the Andromeda necklace,
right.
Projector. And his wife called me an hour later and said he just made a big turnaround.
That was good.
So the projector is really incredible. I mean, people don't realize how powerful our products really are. And the amazing thing is, I didn't have to think about it, Fred. I just talked and said, well, I'm going to send him a lot of energy. And the next thing I know, and he's much better now, thank God. So,
yeah, it looks like that test we do at the shows with the projector.
Yes, that's quite interesting that what we do with that. That's really great.
A remote transmission of healing energy while a person is being enough poison to kill him in about 5 minutes.
Right.
That's a pretty severe test.
It blows him away.
Yeah.
It really blows him away.
A healing homeopath guy today on the phone who's using a lot of our products. He's thinking of getting a projector. He's got a receptor.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, you shouldn't really think about it. You just do it. Because if the money is the issue, that's a stupid issue. Because it will bring you the money back in a heartbeat.
Right.
I mean, that it will do. I've seen it do it, you know, and everybody.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a pretty cool. Well, this friend of yours, where did you meet her at anyway?
I went over to a friend's
house. Oh, that's
house.
Her house. That's right. I met her at her house. It was like a
yeah,
party.
I met her at another friend's house. And she said, please come on over. We have somebody else that's going to open up a beautiful place for New Age, and she's going to be able to do massage there and all kinds of wonderful things in terms of energy. And then she came in, and it was really that's a beautiful necklace.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about it for a second. I have to excuse myself. Somebody's at the door, and my eyes
sure.
are here, and they don't seem to be able to answer the door today.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyhow, we had a ball. We just had a wonderful time together. We both spoke the same language, and she's really, really a sweet person. So I can't wait for to have dinner with her and to be able to talk to her about what's happening, because we both have seen the Andromedans. I see them when I'm working in my room. As a massage therapist, I can see them in the room actually trying to help me or actually helping me. So that's fantastic. It's a lot of fun to have them in the room. The energy changes. It's a lot more powerful. And sometimes they even sit down on top of the ceiling, and there's chairs, everything else, and they look down at what I'm doing. So it's really fabulous. I'm talking about the Andromedans.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And so they're really sweet people, and some of them are actually very, very tall, and that's really good. But I really have a lot of fun with them, and so we continue our work together.
Yeah, they in the one of his name's books, Wendell Stevens wrote a lot of books about different extraterrestrial groups.
Right,
and. He had a picture of in one of his books. There's a picture of an Andromedan that was taken down in South America, Brazil,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, the contactee, was with the Andromedan. She landed her ship somewhere in São Paulo to do something together. And he described her as being about 6 feet tall, you know, as in a human body. This one, or maybe 6'2". Sort of like Candy Jones was, the other girl I talk about, who was worked for the CIA. But anyway, they were out by the parking lot in a restaurant, and he asked her if he could take a picture of her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, yeah. I don't know if it was a Polaroid camera or it was a 35mm. I'd have to go look at the book. And so he took a picture of her, and when they developed it, you could see where her body was, the size of her body, except where her head was like a big round white ball of light, and then mm-hmm. the light looked like a cocoon almost. Her whole body was there, but it was all this white looking, looked like cotton. You know, it's the best way to describe it. It's in the book. People can get the book. Just look up the Wendell Stevens book at Amazon.com, the one he wrote about the Andromedan contactee. You know,
okay.
That's the name of the book. But that's a good picture of what they look like, because they bring themselves down in frequency for a human to see them, like they do for you. But they don't do that for a camera. It doesn't work on a camera. So they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't bring the camera down. The camera takes a picture of them as what they are, light beings. And but they're physical. You know, that's what's really cool about them and their ships. On the BBS radio website, there's a couple of pictures of Andromedan ships flown by a lady named Liara that I took pictures of, you know, over Laguna Beach.
Right.
That was so there I've actually photographed their ships with a 35mm camera, and they're on the website over there at BBS Radio in the section about, you know, in the section it talks about what I do and my background and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
So, yeah, they're I can see more info. I can, both these books, you can sure see their influence. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. The two books, one by Stanton Freeman and Kathleen Martin, and the other one by Dr. Joseph Sprock. He might as well be calling himself Spock. You know, change his name. Anyway. Yeah. Well, boy, Buddy Boo likes this stuff. Buddy Boo's kind of an Andromedan, too, I think.
Yeah.
I think my birds do see them when they're around here.
I bet they do.
They're looking at things that I don't see, you know.
I bet they do.
Yeah, birds have that ability to see at a higher frequency. They have that. But funny thing about them is these are species of Eclectus. They don't see very well. They don't see too well, and it gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
They see incredibly well in the daytime, and they're known to make observations, which
really?
Is really interesting. So
fabulous.
That's the kind of stuff that goes on around here. And as I was explaining earlier, before you, where'd you go tonight? Are you late or what? Or you just
I just came in. I'll tell you a little later when I call you back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, it's been fabulous. I just I have a lot of fun with the Andromedans. They're a lot of fun to be in the room.
And, yeah, it was really funny.
They really do a lot of work. I mean, you can actually see them in the room. They basically stand either by the feet or by the head. And they really take out a lot of stuff. I mean, it's really amazing what they do.
Yeah.
The picture that you have of the Andromedans, have you ever shown that in the last few months?
What's that, the pictures in Laguna?
Yeah.
No, they're hanging over there. I need to bring them over here.
Okay.
The one that looks like Mikkel?
Yeah.
A lot of, Mikkel has that look, and she's tall, 6 foot tall, so people think she's an Andromedan. I think she is, too. She's awful intense, that's for sure. And
she has tremendous energy, Mikkel.
Yeah, pretty good. Once she gets cranked up pretty good, she keeps going, you know?
Yeah.
Buddy Boo is having a ball here. But anyway, I'm excited about fall coming on here, and hopefully we're going to be out in L.A. I think in the middle of August. I might come back to New York. I got to start looking into it because October is just around the corner again.
Yes, it is.
Amazing.
Yes, it is.
So,
you're very well loved back here, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I got to get back there. Thinking of calling up Mark Becker, doing a lecture at his show, and then we can just get a suite.
Right.
Instead of a booth. Because for the cost of a booth, I can rent a suite for a whole week, you know?
Right, right, right.
And we can do a lot more in the suite, in the hotel there, if we do it in the New Yorker. So we can do a lot more demonstrations and stuff than we do at the booth. We won't be bugged by
people. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you can make a boo. And he's all excited today. Yeah, Buddy Boo has just got his house cleaned today, and he's just all excited tonight.
Oh, how nice.
So he was singing a little bit before we started the show. He's a real good rock and roll singer. So I think Eclectus are connected to Andromedans.
Mm-hmm.
You think so, too, I think, you know. Whereas African Grey, for example, I think they're more Pleiadian, you know, or some other.
Really?
Right? You know, different birds, if you get to know them well enough.
Right.
Connect to different ETs, of course.
Yes.
They originate, those species came from, didn't originate here.
Mm-hmm.
No, they originated somewhere else and were brought here.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Pleiadians brought a lot of species to this world.
That's wonderful.
Probably since Noah, you know, ran around with a bunch of them in his ark, you know. I mean, if you think about, you know, the story of Noah's ark, two of everything. Right, and if you look at the number of species today, which is that was supposedly 6,000 years ago when he had a little flood, his
right
ran over in his shower. Well, if you look at all the species today of animals there are, just the bird species alone wouldn't fit in that ark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The ark, if that was it, they found Mount Ararat. You know, they said they found a 600-foot ark up there, partially destroyed and partially there intact. It was 600 feet long, and I think about 150 feet wide.
That's incredible.
About four stories. That'll hold a lot, but it won't hold won't even hold the bird kingdom. There's so many birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it sure as heck won't handle all the rest of the animals. There's too many of them. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It would be I think what happened after the flood, then the Pleiadians started dropping off different things, or some other different ET races were dropping off different animals.
Yeah, you know, Stephen Quayle, a very interesting guy. was talking about the time of Noah's Ark and the air that people were breathing. Actually, they were bigger than us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything was big. Remember?
Yeah.
Big, you know, that was the way, many millions before years after the dinosaurs. But things were bigger.
Yes. And he said that the air was so pure and so high frequency that they were bigger, smarter. It's really incredible. It was quite. He's got quite a book.
Yeah.
To read about that.
It was, you know, during Atlantis, there had to be a certain species. And then after Atlantean times, I'm sure we lost a few with that Taylor wave warfare as it took place.
Yeah.
And that was 12,000
years. He makes the most interesting sounds I've ever heard in my life.
What he's doing now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's picking up on the Andromeda frequencies now.
Ah.
Getting calmed down. Yeah, I heard that. And you get him calmed down, and he tunes into what's going on.
Yeah.
Then he does all kinds of weird stuff. That's why I like the species of birds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every time he's in a good mood, like he is now, and all excited. Yeah, you're in a good mood, aren't you? He starts to talk. Make different sounds. Do some sounds. Yeah.
I think he understands you very well.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He understands me. And I tell him not to do something. I say no. Then that's he hates that word.
Oh,
sometimes
really?
I'll spank him. I'll tap his tail feathers. For example, you know he knows what cheese is. He knows what butter is.
Mm-hmm.
Two things he's not supposed to have. And of course. Desperately wants them all the time.
Yeah.
So if he's been really good, he gets a piece of cheese afterwards. Then if but normally he eats fruit. He eats a big bowl of fruit.
Yeah.
And but where he gets in trouble is when he gets done with the fruit and his wife has a little bit of fruit. She might not be
mm-hmm.
done with it, but he's done. He flips
right.
the bowl over. He'll flip the bowl right over.
Yeah.
That's where he gets in trouble. That's when he hears the word no. The other day I was having a bowl of oatmeal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he came out, and he stuck his beak in to see if he liked the oatmeal, and he ate a little of it, and then he decided he didn't want it anymore. So he flipped my oatmeal bowl over right while I was eating it.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he flipped it right over. It's a big mess. So I get
my
tail for that one and said
that's
no.
That's cute.
Oh yeah, he just comes. He's like they're like little humans. They have a little ladder, and they come up the ladder. They come out of their house. They'll walk across the floor, and they go up about a 3-foot-high ladder to the bench or where, you know, the island. We have an island in the middle of the kitchen, and that's where we eat.
Right.
But he'll come right up to the island, and Bella will come, his partner, and they'll come over and have some food with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten into a habit lately. When he's done, he thinks everybody's done, and there shouldn't be anything left, and he dumps the bowl over.
Right.
The bowl dumps, aren't you?
That's funny.
He loves to dump the ball. The other thing he likes to do is when I'm watching TV in the living room,
mm-hmm.
he climbs up on my chest, puts his head on my face, and goes to sleep.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah, he just puts his little head right in my face, little beak right on my nose.
Oh.
Goes to sleep. Stay there all night if I don't move. If I fall asleep, sometimes he'll fall asleep, and I'll wake up at 3 in the morning and put him away, but he'll stay there all night. And he
doesn't
poop on anything. They never poop except where they're supposed to.
Really?
Yeah, they're very well trained, yeah.
That's wonderful.
They run around the house pooping and stuff. Otherwise, they wouldn't allow to be around the house. And they're very clean birds, and they take a bath in the morning. When the vacuum.
They do?
Oh, yeah. As soon as we turn the vacuum cleaner on, then they start taking a bath. Now
mm-hmm.
he's yawning.
Mm-hmm.
Getting bored, honey? Woo-hoo. Are you getting bored? You getting bored there? He's a little quiet right now.
Hi, buddy, Boo.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You never met him, have you?
No.
Now,
I can't wait to meet him.
I don't think we even had Bella when you were out here last.
No.
I think you meant bees and Princess and the other bird.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a beautiful bird. His colors are just magnificent.
Yeah, now he's putting his head upside down, biting my ear. Yeah, he's got some good color going. Have you got your TV on over there or your
I'm seeing also, yeah, he's beautiful.
Yeah.
Even his beak is beautiful.
Yeah, your beak. How's your beak doing?
Yeah,
it's certain
very, very pretty.
We'll throw a fit. Go in the corner and start beaking the wall of his house.
Yeah.
Out and show him around. Take him outside and walk around. And then he's okay because he gets bored sometimes.
Does he?
Yeah. He's a little bored right now because he's yawning.
Ah.
No, he's still.
Moving around on your shoulder pretty. Hey, he's looking at your water.
Yeah, he's fun to drink. He likes apple juice. He likes beer.
He likes beer?
Yeah, he loves beer.
That's wild.
He'll drink a little beer. It's good. What hurt him? When these birds are out in the wild, they eat fruit.
Right.
It's fermenting.
Right.
And so they'll get a little bit loaded on fermenting fruit. It's like drinking wine, yeah. Yeah, a little alcohol is okay, but they don't drink much, you know. It doesn't take much. He gets a good buzz on, though, sometimes.
That's cool.
But, yeah. But he'll stop at a certain point. You know, he doesn't go to the point where he's going to have a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
I think he likes the taste of beer. He used to drink wine, but he quit. He got tired of it.
Really?
Yeah, I put a glass of wine out, and he'd be right over there having a sip of it.
He
doesn't do that anymore. He just wants beer. He doesn't want it every day. He likes it every once in a while. He'll have a beer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a no-drinker. Not an alcoholic bird like Frenchie is.
We should give out your phone number so people can call us in.
Yeah, at BBS Radio, if the number is
1-800-729-2603.
Yeah, that's my number. The BBS Radio is 888-815-9756.
Right.
Yeah, people have been calling and talking to me on the phone a lot.
Have they?
Yeah, but they're trying to get them to call into the radio show. We can have a lot more fun when they share.
Okay.
Oh, there's somebody.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, guys.
Who's this?
Hi.
This is Chester from Maryland. I called last week, but I still had some more questions.
Oh, yeah.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're fine. We're
doing well, thank you.
Good. I had a question about I was thinking about getting, I have a emerald receptor, silver.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about getting a moldavite.
Yeah, that would be good.
But the reason I got it is for thyroid, and I was wondering if the moldavite actually helps thyroid as well or better than an emerald?
I don't know. It sounds to me, you got an emerald in it now?
Yes.
It sounds to me, how long have you had that?
7 months.
Yeah, sounds to me like you're done with it. He's had it 7 months. That's enough time for a thyroid to reproduce itself.
The thing is, I had a thyroidectomy done,
okay. And
they removed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, should I keep wearing?
No, I get rid of it. I can tell right
really?
Now the frequency that. I think he's done with the emerald. What do you think, Steve?
I think so.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's time to get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't think you need I don't think you need that anymore.
Okay. So is there anything else that maybe Steve or you guys could recommend besides the emerald? Or should I go with the moldavite or?
What do you think?
No. No. The moldavite, no. I think you're ready for a diamond.
Yeah, that would be
a diamond, really?
I would get up frequency like that, too. Yeah, a diamond or a ruby. Probably a diamond, yeah.
Okay.
A diamond, you've got to remember,
the
diamond, not only is it white, but it takes in all the colors.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You don't think it'll be too powerful?
No.
No.
Not if you wore an emerald for 7 months.
Okay. That sounds good.
I see that you're ready for a diamond.
Oh, that's great. That's
awesome. Yeah.
Even though I don't have a thyroid?
It won't make any difference. The diamond, I believe the diamond is a stone that you should wear. It seems like it would do an awful lot of work for you.
Really? Awesome.
Yes.
My other question is about training it. Should I? I was wondering, is there a difference between platinum and rhodium plating?
Yeah, there is. They're both excellent. I can tell you that right now.
Okay.
Depends on your preference. I would probably go with rhodium. Platinum is too intense for me, but a lot of my clients want platinum real bad, and they're real happy when they get it. So we do both.
Okay. So platinum would be stronger than rhodium?
Oh, no, they're not stronger. Their metals work on the body in different ways. It's more like intensity. And they're both equal. I think the rhodium is a little softer than the platinum.
Platinum,
it's an edgy it's edgy. You know, if you look at the hip-hop people that wear a lot of platinum, they're real high-energy people. You know, real high-energy people. They can't even, they jump around and they have to have extra loose pants so they can keep moving in them and stuff, you know? So that platinum is like, to me, it's like too much coffee or speed or something. Right?
Yeah. Rhodium is extremely intense.
Rhodium is like gold, but a little bit more up, a little more intense.
Okay, so it's more intense than gold, but less intense than platinum?
Yeah, it's kind of in between.
Yeah. Okay.
And remember this, too, that with the silver metal, in healing, silver itself is a natural antibiotic. And
right.
You can have an infection and stick a silver needle in it, and it'll heal a certain amount of space around that silver needle to a certain distance. And if you put electricity on it, it'll heal the whole thing. Because it electrolytes the silver into your body, which is good. Whereas if you use tin or iron or something, it wouldn't do anything. The body has preferences. Gold also does not work directly in the body as well as silver, but it works very well transmitting to the body. So it likes to transmit, the gold does, through the air.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can always tell by wearing their jewelry. It tells you a lot about who they are.
Right.
I mean, if you look at me, the jewelry I wear, you think I was a total nut. And you'd be right. You'd be totally right on, you know?
Is there a possibility for a thyroid to be regenerated?
Yeah, it is. It's called the phantom leaf effect. And there is experimentation going on now. To grow limbs back on amputees. There's a big area of research right now that's going on in some major universities and hospitals to regrow arms and limbs, you know, arms and legs that are completely not there.
Wow.
It's a fact that if you were, let's say you got your finger chopped off below your fingernail, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that would be 3/4 of an inch of your finger chopped off, like accidentally, okay, in a saw. If you were to saw that back on, sew that back on, you'd have a horrible-looking mess that would probably grow back. Whereas if you leave it alone, in most cases, the whole finger would grow back normal again.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, see, so... the main thing is to, with a severed limb, is to get working on it right away. And they like to do that by electrical stimulation, and that's what we're working on. That's part of the circuitry that we're using in our QBAM, our X1 healing machine technology that we're currently working on here. That's the kind of stuff we're working on, and it is quite possible. So that with that same effort... You could grow a thyroid back, but you need to have a stimulation effect on it, you know? And I think the projector would be one area to look into.
Yeah, I'm getting one next month.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So when that happens, I would be visualizing a lot of growth. I would be getting a book out and looking at what the thyroid looks like, and then I'd be able to visualize it instantaneously all the time. Get it going like that in your mind, and then visually project that image into your thyroid area.
Okay.
You feel it there. And that's where this doctor I was talking about, this Dr. Damien Joseph Sprock, who I'm going to have on the show, I think that you should get in contact with him, because he's talking about this stuff just like I am. He's pretty right on. He doesn't go into it in great depth like I do, but, I mean, he's covering the mainstream of people. And it's quite brilliant, this book.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very familiar with Kaluza-Klein theory, which is the string theory, and he's got a lot, but he's also covering a lot of other stuff too. I mean, meditation, desire, aspiration, love, all kinds of things. It's a very interesting book. Even Buddy Boo likes it. Like this book, Buddy.
I see.
He's reading it. Yeah, he's reading now. I guess this bird reads, too. Are you reading, honey? You look at right there? Yeah, I feel like they could be the characters of the 1890 series of Misfits of Science, or one of the young people in the Xavier School for Gifted in the recent movies from the X-Men comic book. Yeah, that's a little quotation. He liked that quote. Yeah. But anyhow, this guy, Damien Joseph Sprock, I give him a call. I don't know where his practice is. He's in San Diego. That's right, because he's down the road from us.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but he sure sent me a nice book. And
very cool.
I definitely, he's one of those guys that I would definitely be talking to, you know, about this concept, because he even mentions it on the back of the book.
Okay.
And that's where we're going. I mean, why shouldn't we be doing that? You know? Why shouldn't we? We should do that.
Yeah, I'm tired of taking Synthroid.
Yeah.
What?
You're taking pills, right? Enzyme.
Yeah, pills. I have to take Synthroid every morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
What happened to your thyroid anyway?
I had a goiter, and when they removed it, they saw a nodule.
Yeah.
And one of the doctors thought that could possibly be cancerous. So they had to go back in 3 weeks later and repeat the operation and take out the whole thing.
Yeah. Was he had cancer or what?
They didn't determine that it was, but they said to be careful, to make sure that it just to be on the safe side, they were going to take it out.
Yeah, but when in doubt, I bet you wouldn't have.
Yeah,
you wouldn't do it again, knowing what you know now.
Exactly. I would never have done it now. No way.
How old were you when that happened?
This was in 96.
So how old were you then, approximately?
I was in my 20s, late 20s.
Yeah, so when I had appendicitis when I was 20, and I didn't mind having that out, but they scare you. I mean, a 20-year-old doesn't know that. Unless you're a medical student. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
They scare the shit out of you.
I was terrified.
Out of fear, you know?
Yeah.
And operating a thyroid gland on a 20-year-old, come on. If you were 80, mm-hmm. maybe, and there was a real danger, maybe that would be an idea, but not at 20.
Right.
That's the peak of your advisability to be bulletproof, almost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to bounce bullets off my wrist at 20.
I regret it every day now, having done it, but I didn't know back when I know today, I guess.
Yeah, they didn't know any better either, you know, back in those days. Well, they knew better, but was it a regular hospital or what?
Yeah, a regular hospital.
Yeah. Stay out of hospitals. Don't go to holistic clinics. You know, anybody out there listening, if you got any problems like he's describing, call us up at that 800 number, and I'll send you to a clinic that won't cut it out. You know, fix it. Or diagnose it properly. You weren't even properly diagnosed properly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think more people get in trouble by going into the hospital with a minor thing, and it turns into a major thing. Had they stayed home, they wouldn't have had any problem eventually, you know?
Right.
Stayed all the time. I've worked in a few hospitals.
Yeah, it always gets worse in the hospital. Dr. Bell, next week or next month, I should be getting my receptor necklace.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is that going to make my connection to my standalone better?
Oh, yeah.
Right now,
absolutely.
I'm getting a projector, right?
Yeah, I'm getting the necklace in a month.
Oh, okay.
But I have a standalone already.
Right. Yeah, but you need the one you wear hook up to it.
Right, okay. So right now, using it, it's not really going to do much, or it's just going to be like...
You need to have that parametric spontaneous down conversion process going. Have you got your lasers for your standalone?
I do, but I just hold them and I concentrate on it because they're like little pointers that you hold with your hands. I have a red and a green one.
Yeah, the red and green. That's fine. Handheld is fine. Yeah,
okay.
You just get the connection to you. I mean, you can connect mentally with it, but I mean, you'll connect physically with it when you get the other piece.
Okay.
Funny, because you got that first. Most people do it the other way around.
Yeah.
Star Orb, too. You have a Star Orb, right?
What was that?
You have a Star Orb?
No, not yet. I don't have a Star Orb just yet.
And I wouldn't even mess with that projector if you don't have a Star Orb. You'll become ungrounded.
Okay.
Yeah, just leave it alone. Let it sit.
Okay.
You don't want
so the Star Orb, that takes away the negative frequencies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I got people to buy them two or three at a time now because they work so well, especially with the pollution and stuff that's going on.
Mm.
We got to get off the air, though. Sorry about that, because it's 5:56. We're over a minute already.
Uh-huh.
So is there anything else you want to say, or we got to go?
Okay. I was just wondering, have you done a show on the effects of crystal meth on DNA yet?
The effects of crystal meth on DNA?
Yeah,
I've done shows like that in the past. And I've also
I'll look for that.
Yeah, I also done shows on freebase cocaine, which does about the same thing. Those are shows I was doing back in the 80s. I don't know if I've done that much on BBS or not, but I did a lot of that stuff back in the 80s. We can talk about that next week if you want to learn about it.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All right. Well, Steve, put your phone number out.
585-746-8321. Thank you.
Okay. And my number is 1-800-729-2603. And we are going to be winding out of here. 1-800-729-2603. And there's George Winston and Dr. Fred. You listen to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show at bbsradio.com every 5 o'clock Thursday Pacific time. And we got to go. I've got to go shopping tonight, get some water. We're running out. But we'll see you guys later. Thanks for watching.